I don't have a funny bit for this. I'm just, it's been a really crazy week, Andrew. There's a lot of wrestling has happened. And for me personally, I feel like I've lost at most of them this week.
Yeah, it's been a rough week of wrestling. I think everybody's just tired coming out of WrestleMania weekend.
Oh my gosh. And you know, not to go on too long of a tangent, but I'm so happy you boys were a part of it and at least y'all got some rest, but there is no sleep for the wicked. Because as soon as WrestleMania Night 2 was done, then we had NXT. But thankfully, I got a break because I didn't do Dynamite this week. And I was kind of blessing in disguise. I didn't have to after I watched it. And you heard my little rant before we went on the recorded NXT. Alrighty. But we are here. This is the Takedown Troop review. This is your weekly TNA wrestling review. Thankfully, it did not disappoint me too much this week, so this is the saving grace for us. I am your host, Mikey, known as El Jefe around these parts. Joining me tonight is my other co-host, Andrew, Mr. A to Z himself. So we are going to do our best to get through TNA. Unfortunately, we are missing our third host, Papa Oso himself, Will. He's currently stuck at work, so he is really mad that he can't be here, but he did send his rating and his reasoning. So just like NXT, I will be reading that at the very end of the show. But we are here to review this week's TNA Wrestling taking place on Thursday, April 11, 2024. And this is the semi-final show before going into Rebellion, which is literally next Saturday, Andrew.
That's crazy.
It really, really is. And we got a lot of pre-show matches, and we also got a new stipulation added to a previously announced match, as well as trying to continue some storylines for the future, which TNA, you were my saving grace, but I have some questions for you this episode because I'm wondering what the direction our certain storylines are heading into, especially when we get to certain champions and, you know, velvet ropes, apparently. So we'll talk about it, but let's just jump straight into it. So I had to rewatch the intro bit like twice because I thought my television cut something off when the episode started because we didn't get the intro. We didn't get Cross the Line theme song. We literally jump in and Hammerstone and Josh Alexander are just brawling in the ring around the ring. Security is trying to break them up, but it is not working. It takes a whole army of people to finally break them up. Josh is getting pushed up the ramp. Hammerstone is in the ring. And somebody thought it was a good idea for Tommy Dreamer to play mediator.
Look, yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. I'm just going to say it. I feel that when Tommy Dreamer grabbed the microphone, we went on for way too long with him trying to calm both parties down. We could have shaved like a good minute and a half off of that, and we still could have got the point across.
Yeah, I felt like the tone that Tommy Dreamer had when he was talking to the microphone was just continuing his, when he was like pleading to Crazy Steve. Like, it was, it just felt so ineffective. Like, the height of the emotions that Hammerstone and Alexander had were just not met by Tommy Dreamer. And yeah, this all just went on for a little too long, especially just randomly coming into it. I did the same thing I thought when I watched it on the app. I was like, oh, did I accidentally skip forward like a few minutes? Like, what happened?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not even done with this because I feel like somebody gave Tommy Dreamer the wrong script. I'm like, Tommy, you're not in the feud with Crazy Steve any, like, different. Like, but basically, Tommy Dreamer was trying to get through to Hammerstone saying that you've had one of the best debuts for this company in history. I'm like, I mean, that's kind of true, but I also kind of debatable. But I will say TNA signing Hammerstone is a big get for sure. And I'm happy that he's here. But Tommy Dreamer says that both of you are going to tear down the roof at Rebellion next week. So just stay put and don't do anything crazy. Tommy Dreamer does the dumb baby face thing and shake Hammerstone's hand. Hammerstone accepts, shakes it back. Tommy Dreamer takes, you know, his leave. And then Hammerstone grabs him from behind and puts him in the worst sold torture rack I have ever seen. This is a hot take, Andrew. I don't like the torture rack. It's never a believable move for me like that. I'm just like, it's not good. And Tommy didn't sell it very well either.
Yeah, I mean, it felt weird to have Tommy Dreamer here. I mean, I get it. He's kind of one of the backstage personality authority figures now. I'm much happier to have him here than being active. But yeah, it just felt like a weird addition to this. And I'm happy that we're getting this third match, this trilogy match between Hammerstone and Alexander. But now it just has me questioning, like, obviously Alexander is a big signing. He's, you know, a big addition to TNA, but I'm interested to see, what are we going to do with him after his feud with Alexander? Like, what's next for him?
That's also the question that came to my mind when I was thinking about this. And I think about wrestling way too much. It's not a good, it's unhealthy at some parts. But hey, we started a YouTube channel. That's where we get all that out. But I thought about this too, because I'm really enjoying this feud that we've had with Josh and Hammerstone since Hard to Kill. And I'm really excited for this blow-off match at Rebellion. But I'm also a little bit worried, because I'm wondering what's next for, actually, not just Hammerstone, but for Josh as well. What direction are we taking both of these men post-Rebellion as we go through Under Siege and Against All Odds, which leads us to our next big tentpole for TNA, which is Slammiversary in the summer. I'm a little worried because I'm looking at the roster and I don't know who Hammerstone or Josh would be feuding with next quite yet. I have some ideas, but I wish that we wait to build those out a little bit to see what happens after Rebellion. For me, it all depends on who comes out of Rebellion as champions to see where we put, you know, challengers next. But Josh Alexander comes in to, you know, save Tommy Dreamer. Shout out to Hammerstone for gingerly putting him down. It's like, I'm gonna put you in this torture. Oh, let me put you down softly. Okay. And then I'm gonna roll out of this ring. Alexander gets on the microphone, says that he's done playing games with Hammerstone. So at Rebellion, it is him and Hammerstone in a last man standing match, which I shouted from the rooftops. I'm like, thank you. I've been wanting this announcement for weeks. Because there has to be some sort of finality. I still have major trust issues after Jimmy and Jay at WrestleMania. But we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah,
and no. Also Trick and Mello. When we need a blow-off match, it needs to be the final chapter.
Well, we found out in that case that it's not the final match. But in this case, I think with it being a last man standing, we can get some interesting spots and some cool stuff from the two of these guys. And it feels like it could be a big way to end this. If I had to give my early predictions, I feel like Josh is going to win. Partially because in these kind of situations, it feels like the face is going to benefit more from the victory and the heel will suffer less in the loss. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll be interesting because, you know, obviously we have Nemeth versus Moose for the world title. I feel like it's too early to put Alexander or Hammerstone against Nemeth because I think it would be too early to take the title off of him, and that would be detrimental to both of them to lose to Nemeth. You know, Jake is going to face Ali. I believe this is the end of Ali's contract, so it'll probably be Jake something winning the X Division title. Again, would be too soon to take it off of him, and that really just leaves either the tag titles or the digital media title, and I really don't see either of them going for those titles, so it's got to be someone that they can feud with. So, you know, if Moose loses the title, I suppose Josh could feud with Moose again, or, you know, and I just don't know who Hammerstone could feud with unless he just destroying people and, you know, just being the TNA monster until they have a chance to, like, properly put him into a title picture. But I think the match is going to be pretty awesome between the two of these guys.
I think so, too. And I have a fun feud I would like to see down the line, but we got to build to that because we'll talk about another wrestler who's been having these really weird, intriguing promo video packages. And I'll wait to talk about that because that's a feud I would love to see. But we get a last man standing matchup rebellion between Hammerstone and Josh. I'm excited for that, which leads us into our first match of the evening. We finally get the TNA Digital Media Championship match between Laredo Kid and Crazy Steve. We've been trying to get this match. It was supposed to happen at Sacrifice last month, but because of travel issues, according to the commentators, Joe Hendry stepped in to face Crazy Steve. So now we're getting the actual match that we were supposed to at Sacrifice. And I wanted to like this really more, especially after we got that sit down interview with Laredo Kid and we learned more about him and his history in wrestling and just him as a person growing up. And I was rooting for him and I wanted this match to deliver more, but it did not.
No. Yeah, this the match seemed off at several points. It just almost seemed like they knew they had promoted this match previously. Well, they didn't even really promote it before the match got canceled, but they told us about it. So now it felt like, oh, well, now we have to get that over and we need to have another person for Crazy. It almost felt like they threw in this little micro feud with Laredo Kid and Crazy Steve between this and what will be Crazy Steve's next feud. I would have liked this with a bit more buildup. Maybe if we would have got this as the part of the pre-show for Rebellion, you know, with along with, you know, the Knockouts tag team title match that's going to be there, you know, getting this as a part of that pre-show and having us build these next 2 weeks into Rebellion, showing us some stuff between Laredo Kid and Crazy Steve, like the promotional package that we saw for Laredo Kid was great. The best part of this was kind of near the end when Laredo Kid started losing it. You know, he got mad about the mask rip and mad at the referee and everything. And it was nice to see something even briefly from Laredo Kid that wasn't basically create a luchador number five. Like he just feels like every time I see him, I'm like, oh, interesting. And I've seen previous stuff of him that's really good, but I feel like in TNA, he's the luchador guy. And there's nothing special about it. And I also feel like Crazy Steve is always best served in a special stipulation match.
Yeah, and I feel, and we talked about this, and you've actually mentioned it, so I give you the credit when I say this, and that I feel that the digital media champion, like you said in the past, should be a stipulation kind of championship, where whoever holds it, whenever a match is made for that title, the champion gets to make the stipulation. It could be anything, like Falls Count Anywhere, Last Man Standing. If you want to do a full Final Mayhem match, like I feel that the digital media champion, or bring back the .com like street fight that like we saw with Grayson Cardona when they were feuding for the title like a year and a half ago, like that was baller. Or when Hendry was in that match with Moose too, like that's what the title should be. And I love Crazy Steve's new character. I love his new entrance song. Like, the aesthetic is there. But so far, these matches aren't where I want them to be. And unfortunately, I don't think we're done with this feud, because afterwards, there's a DQ because Laredo Kid pushes the ref down. And then he has the championship because Crazy Steve tried to hit him after the match with it, but Laredo Kid stopped it. And Crazy Steve just got the heck out of Dodge. I'm like, Steve, you stabbed Tommy Dreamer with the fork. Like, what are you afraid of? like, you stabbed this man twice with the fork.
Yeah, I mean, if that's, you know, if we're going to see more of this, hopefully we get something more interesting, a bigger build, something to give us, something really to, like, sink our teeth into, something for Laredo Kid to give us more, and then something to make Steve's run exciting. Like, they tried to sell us on Steve's title defenses. And they're like, oh, he beat Tommy Dreamer and Rhino. And I don't even remember who the third person was. And then it was Joe Hendry. Or no, it was Joe Hendry and then PCO. But PCO was, like, Khan got involved in that one. But realistically, if you look at the people that he's defended his title for, I think they're all, except for Joe Hendry, like, in their 50s. Like, and nothing against that. Like, there's plenty of, like, we saw, we talked about certain truthful characters who are in their 50s that you would not believe it. But at the same time, it just kind of feels like I want to see Crazy Steve defended against more exciting opponents, people that are going to bring something to that digital media division. Because right now that whole area just feels like it's rudderless. And so I'd like to see some kind of direction. And so if we get that with, you know, maybe Laredo Kid and Crazy Steve rematching and it's some crazy match, you know, putting that title on the line and we get some development with both of them, that'd be great. But right now, just kind of feels aimless.
Yeah, so we'll see where this leads, which leads us into our next match because we didn't wait for that for long. We have a tag team match, ABC versus the newly established First Class, so AJ Francis and Rich Swann. But before we talk about this tag team match, this would be a good time to insert this here. Since we're talking about ABC, let's quickly talk about Explosion this week because one of the participants in ABC was involved in our Explosion main event. So the Explosion main event was a triple threat match with Ace Austin, Kushida, and Speedball Mike Bailey. And those three boys tore the roof up. Like, that was a really good match. And all three of them are just so damn good. Ugh. I'm kind of mad it was on Explosion.
Yeah. I know. That was my thought, too. Was like, God, this should have been on the regular TNA weekly. But I kind of also like that there's been some weeks of Explosion where it's like, okay, yeah, I could see that why that match was on Explosion. And then there's other weeks where it's like either a performer or a match that I'm like, dang, that was like main like event show. Like, yeah. And this one was really good. It was, and I was surprised too by the outcome. That counter to Ultima Weapon from Kushida was insane. So good. Yeah. So this was a top tier match, and it's kind of fun because, you know, two of them are tag team wrestlers, especially right now they're in you know, main tag teams, but to see all three of them go against each other, it was just showcased how great all three of those performers are.
Oh, absolutely. And now back to our regular scheduled programming. So ABC versus First Class, this match, this is what I expected to be. I mean, ABC, so Chris Bay and Ace Austin, who are two phenomenal talents. Rich Swann is no slack either, but I can definitely tell they were walking AJ through some of the stuff, which is totally okay because, you know, you want to improve the craft. And I actually didn't hate this match like I thought it was going to. I thought this was a pretty solid match, but ultimately Rich Swann pinned Ace Austin, can't catch a break because he got pinned here too. So Ace Austin gets pinned, but Rich Swann pins him while grabbing a handful of tights. So First Class cheated to get the victory, but nonetheless, they won. And then Joe Hendry's music hit for like 10 seconds and then it just stopped. I kind of found it funny. And then two things occurred. Number one, Joe Hendry lets us know that him and Rich Swann are going to go one-on-one at Rebellion, not on the countdown, but on the main show. I'm like, yo, this actually kind of might be baller. I'm here for it. And then we got Joe Hendry's version of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air rap. He pretty much rapped the whole entire first verse, but changed the last couple of lines and called AJ Francis the fat Uncle Phil. And I kid you not, Andrew, I had to pause because I was laughing of how dumb it was, but how much I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I mean, the best part of this, and I will say I enjoyed this match more than the first match we got. But the best part of this match was Joe Hendry's appearance and participation in it. I love the fact that when he was rapping the Fresh Prince theme intro, that people started rapping along with him. They're clearly selling AJ Francis as a giant. And he did, there was actually some good spots in here between world's strongest fall away slam or whatever they called it. But it's basically just, you know, a front slam and a kind of an over the shoulder slam that he did to ABC. But then in turn, him taking a double suplex from ABC, you know, they're you know, playing into his size, which is, I think, is going to benefit him well. The least interesting part of this match for me was actually Rich Swann. And I think part of that was because he just didn't have that much in the match. It was much more about ABC trying to overcome the size of AJ Francis. So it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. I feel like First Class is kind of giving me Shane Taylor Promotions vibes, where I'm not quite sure, are they going to be a tag team? Are they just going to be a stable that tags together every once in a while? You know, Rich Swann is facing Joe Hendry. Is that just going to be a stepping stool for him to get back in there with AJ Francis? But if at the end of the day, it means we got to see ABC wrestle and we get a Joe Hendry match out of it, then, you know, there's not too much I can complain about there.
No, more Joe Hendry is also good for all of us. And I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fun. So then we head backstage as Santino is using his phone to try to navigate to figure out where he's going. I was like, where are we going with this? Santino, yeah. Who are you looking for? And then we arrived into our impromptu VIP lounge with a velvet rope out of nowhere where Ash by Elegance and her Chevalier, they talk to Santino and they basically say, you know, Ash was supposed to compete in the match, but because of cosmetic surgery, she couldn't. And so Steph DeLander was in there and she won. So technically Steph won that match for Ash. So Ash should get a chance at the title. And Santino basically says, no way, Jose, which then prompts, you know, Ash to get upset and the Chevalier to threaten legal action with some lawyers involved. This was a stupid segment and I was here for it.
My favorite part was when they proposed it to him and Santino's response was, let me ask you a question. How does this work? And he's talking about the velvet rope and the Chevalier is like, oh, here, it's really simple. You just unclick it. And he's like, thank you. Not going to happen. And just walks off like, nope, I'm out of here.
I don't care what anyone says. Santino is still the funniest wrestler ever. Oh, just yeah. To be that quick-witted is just something you can't teach.
Yeah. And he just, he's the biggest thing about him is he's 100% invested in his character.
And he doesn't care how dumb he looks.
It's Dalton Castle level. Like,
so, you know, good.
Yeah.
This is why Dalton and we need a Santino as every authority figure and across all the promotions. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like the world would be a better place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There are many other promotions that I watch where I'm like, God, I wish Santino was here.
This is what we propose. We need a Santino as an authority figure for everyone. And then we need a Renee Paquette and Lexi Nair for all the backstage correspondents. And the wrestling world would come together for peace and harmony.
God, I would love to see Lexi
interview. Also, we need commentators like Ian and Caprice at all the levels.
I would love to see Lexi interview Santino.
Oh, my God. Gosh, I would die. That'd be hilarious. It's so good. This was a stupid segment, but I loved it. It was so funny. So then we get to probably what made me, because, okay, let's just put the elephant, you know, let's address the elephant in the room, Andrew. We talked a little bit about this. I am normally not a fan of contract signings. I think they're dumb. So, like, most of the time, they don't really serve a purpose. And it's always just like, oh, my gosh, there's always a fight that breaks out during these contract signings. Oh, my gosh, what a surprise. Not really.
Someone goes through the table. What a surprise.
That's nuts. Wow. Who knew that was going to happen? Roll my eyes. But I have to say, we got a contract signing for the TNA Knockouts World Championship match at Rebellion with Jordynne Grace and Steph DeLander with Matt Cardona. You know, in tow, Santino's overseeing the whole thing. And by the end of this, Andrew, I have to say, this was my favorite contract signing ever that I've ever witnessed. This TNA just does it differently, and it's not very, It's still following the same formula, but they find a way to make it fresh. Literally, Jordan Grace made me cackle the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it was fun, too, because they found ways of reminding you, if you're a TNA fan, reminding you of everything that Jordan Grace has done. And if you've never really seen Steph DeLander and what she's done, giving you just a glimpse of the things that she's done, but then also reminding you of the history between Steph and Matt and Jordan. You know, some of that.
Chelsea Green, too.
Yeah. That line where Jordan Grace said, I beat you. I've beaten your boyfriend. As a matter of fact, I've beaten your boyfriend's wife. And you could see Matt was like, don't talk about that. Like, and it was so good. I know it's going to happen because I'm the juggernaut, bitch. And Matt Cardona's like, you can't call her that. Jordan Grace just says, I wasn't talking to her, bitch. And the whole crowd just starts chanting at Matt Cardona. Yeah, it was so good.
And what I loved about this, too, is because Jordan was made to look really good on the microphone, but then it made me, I still have doubts even before the segment happened, but now I'm even unsure because Steph threw Jordan through that table. It looked devastating. I'm like, this is the one match I'm kind of 50-50 on. I love Jordan, but I would not be upset with the Steph DeLander short run with the title, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest part of it is if they've been able to work out something for Steph to stay in TNA for a little while, seems unlikely. If she did win, that's not a horrible thing. And I think if someone's going to take the title off of Jordan, she's a good option. You know, on the other side, for someone for Jordan to beat, especially because she's cleared out a lot of the current Knockouts division, you know, someone bringing someone like Steph is a great option. You know, we've in a couple other promotions, we've got some women who have pretty much dominated their divisions. So now that they're doing, but you know, they're doing a similar thing where they're like, okay, we got a big event coming up. Well, let's go get someone, an indie wrestler, an international wrestler, someone from a different promotion and bring them in. So you have a big name to face off against. So it's exciting. And having Jordan, you know, defend her current title run against someone like Steph, I think is a great way to set her up, continuing, you know, the legacy that we've recently had between her getting the title from Trinity getting the title from Deonna. You know, there's just, it's been a really great run of Knockouts champions. So I'm really excited for this match. And when I found out that she was going to be the one, to challenge Jordan, I was like, that was perfect. I didn't even think of her, and that's like a wonderful option.
I also like it too because commentary did a good job, you know, afterwards talking about it too. I mean, the closest person to Jordan's size that we've seen in recent years would be Masha, but Masha is more power to power, like strength wise to Jordan. Mm-hmm. Steph is kind of the closest Knockout that we've had to being the same strength and same similar build to Jordan, because both of them are powerhouses. And so this is going to be a big, I don't know what the female equivalent for Hoss is, but these Hoss. Two women are going to, okay. So we get a big Hoss match between these two at Rebellion, and I'm here for it.
Well, and I think the closest that we've seen to exactly the same as Jordan is Danny Luna, who they've obviously had a match against each other. The biggest difference is Danny Luna is like early days Jordan Grace. Like, she's the younger version of Jordan Grace. Jordan Grace has finally become that, like, she's not the legend yet, but she's a veteran. She's had years of experience and at a high level, whereas where Danny Luna's like coming up. So when their match happened, it made sense. This is a different case because it's someone who can challenge Jordan for power, but also for experience. And it's someone who, if you see a lot of Jordan's matches, you know, whether they're in TNA or outside, she's had some hard, hard matches. It's very difficult to find someone who has had more insane matches in women's wrestling than Steph DeLander. And, you know, she's willing to go there. So the two of them going against each other is going to be pretty exciting.
It is. And, you know, I brought up her name before because we're going to move on from this contract signing because I talked about Masha. So backstage, Masha's cutting a promo in Russian and the system interrupt her. And Masha just looks like, we all have that one friend we love to death, but every time they tell us about the drama, we just have to roll their eyes. We're like, we told you what you need to do and choose not to listen. Masha gave the same eye roll as Alicia and, you know, our tag team champions come up to Masha and say, Alicia tells Masha, have you thought about what I said? Are we going to join forces? Masha says something in Russian and she walks off, which leaves Myers, Eddie, and Alicia be like, what'd she say? I don't know. We got to Google translate that later. And it's just like, but I'm pretty sure she said yes. So yeah, I think this weird, uncanny, like, relationship, work relationship, friendship, whatever we're getting from Masha, Alicia, and the system, I'm kind of here for, because it's weird because the system is the heels, but like now we're presenting them kind of somewhat comedic heels. Like, I'm excited for when Masha just destroys everybody in that group, including Moose. It'll be fantastic. Moose versus Masha for the title. Book it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird for me for this because it feels very much like Killer Kelly needed to take some time off. And so now we're trying to figure out what to do with Masha. My opinion on this is I feel like it would be better fit for Alicia to partner herself with somebody else. Like, there's a few other people we haven't seen in a while that I think would be better options for her to either go after or to recruit. I do like the idea of Alicia going after the Knockouts tag team title, because it gives us some focus on that division. And I also don't see Alicia being the one to take that title off of Jordan. I just really would like to see Masha do another singles run while Killer Kelly's away. But when you were talking about it, it gave me a fun idea for, you know, the culmination of this grouping is if Masha does eventually work with Alicia and it, you know, they continue to have these translation issues. And at some point when it's all about to fall down, Masha says, you know, goes on this tirade about him and they, you know, they don't understand what she's saying. And it's Killer Kelly who shows up to translate what she's saying. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this. I could be wrong. This could be one of those random tag teams that they throw two people together and it just works. But I just kind of feel like I like where Alicia going after that tag team title. And I would like to see Masha go on a singles run, especially after seeing what she did with Shayna Baszler at Bloodsport. She's just such a good wrestler, whether she's singles or tag team. And I feel like if she's not going to be a part of MK Ultra, I'd like to have a break from the tag team, because otherwise it just kind of feels like, oh, well, your tag team broke up. Let's stick you with another tag team. And she's a really good singles wrestler to do that with.
Oh, my goodness. I agree with you 100%. So we go from one weird thing to another, because then we get the second part of the Jonathan Gresham video packages.
Look, I like this.
Oh my God. They are so weird, Andrew, but like the best kind of weird, if that makes any sense to you. But this was part two. It was entitled Truth. And literally to me, this is giving me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just kind of pulling this out of, you know, thin air with my movie references. But it's giving me very like Clockwork Orange vibes with the symbolism and the imagery and just like the narration of the philosophical ideals that is Jonathan Gresham. I'm just like, these are so weird, but I can't look away and I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very interested to see where this goes. I mean, I'm happy to see that they're doing these vignettes with Jonathan Gresham, because it seems like they're going to be building him up for something. You know, at first I kind of thought, since we had seen him last week, that maybe he might come out during the whole contract signing thing. They often avoid, you know, I feel like Jonathan Gresham and Jordan Grace kind of avoid doing stuff like that, especially the, like, I'm going to save my wife, considering she's as big and powerful as he is. But I like what they're doing, at least so far, with him. I hope we get to see, you know, this builds into something kind of, you know, fun and new and exciting. There is a part of me that has some kind of inklings and ideas of where we're going with this. I feel like there's a chance that the people that we've seen that not seen their face, and there's one person we see that all we see is their, like, their teeth with a grill on it. And we hear the voiceover talking to him, that I feel like all of them are Jonathan Gresham. And so it's like this weird, like, psychosis kind of a thing. But then the other idea that I had was, is this the, like, are we going to see the birth of a new foundation? You know, is that's what, wasn't that what his stable was in Ring of Honor?
Yeah, the foundation.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if we're going to see something along those lines. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they're doing, and I'm happy that Jonathan Gresham is going to be there. He's coming back, and he's going to be getting a push in some way or another, because really you could put him in any of the divisions and up against a lot of the wrestlers. And he'll have some really great matches out there. I mean, the last thing we really saw him in was this match against Mike Bailey. So I'd love to see him X Division, Digital Media, World, if he's coming in with more friends, tag team, or just tossing people around and tapping people out.
I'm super happy that Gresham decided to stay with TNA, because I was worried, because towards the tail end of 2023, we didn't see too much of him. But now that he's officially signed to TNA, I'm super happy. I'm excited for this. I can't wait to see what comes of it. Which then leads us into our next match. We have Trent Seven taking on Moose in just a singles match. Trent Seven is continuing to remind me why I like him as a wrestler in his unorthodox style. And I thought this match was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Though it did, for me personally, it did take a bit to get to it, because I'm like, Moose felt like he was still trying to get chemistry right with Trent. But by the end of it, both of them did a fantastic job. And it makes me sad to see Trent lose, but you know what? I'm okay with it.
Yeah, the match was what I expected. It was a good, solid, quality match. And it was what I expected from both of them, including the outcome. Which, you know, we're basically biding time until they all get their title matches.
I'm thinking about it now. We just got to keep everyone busy until Rebellion next weekend, which is fantastic. So I waited to talk about this because, you know, I thought the Motor City Machine Guns were not going to be appearing on our screen anymore. But after the match, we had Moose and the System start attacking Trent and, you know, kind of take out Mike Bailey in the process. And then the whole entirety of Time Machine come down for the save. So Kushida, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin. So I didn't mention this when we got it, but I'm going to put it here. Again, we had a really weird backstage segment where Alex Shelley is kind of like not mad at them anymore. I was like, okay, we need to pick a lane, Shelley. At first you were mad at them, and then you weren't, and then you got mad at them again, and then you're now. We need to pick a side. We can't keep going. We can't flip-flop like a burger here. Like, what's happening?
Yeah. In the promo, I felt like none of them were actually invested in or interested in what was happening. It kind of feels like senioritis a little bit. I do like where this led to, because I think it's going to lead to a really fun final match for Motor City Machine Guns. And it also builds some interesting dynamics into the match between the System and Speedball Mountain. And I did like the backstage segment that continued out of this, because I felt like it it played well into what we've gotten from both sides.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of said backstage segment, we didn't have to wait long because we cut backstage with the system coming in. Moose and Myers and Eddie and Alicia were all yelling at Santino, talking about what was that, why did Time Machine get involved? And then Myers and Eddie make the mistake of saying, this is like, we can fight them anytime. We can put everything on the line with them. And then Bailey and Trent come through the curtain. They're also yelling at Santino. And Santino's like, oh, okay, you guys say you can defend everything. Well, guess what? So next week, you will be putting your tag team championships on the line against the Motor City Machine Guns. And Bebo Mountain will face whoever wins said match next week at Rebellion. Spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure the system will be retaining. I will be shocked if Motor City Machine Guns win this match.
Yeah. No, I feel like I said, I feel like this is a way for Shelley and Sabin to have a last tag team match together. It's also a way for them, like a lot of people have done when they're going out of TNA, is to put over the people that are staying. So I feel like this is a way for them to give the system a big win in their tag team reign before they go on to face Speedball Mountain. And it gives us one last chance to see Motor City Machine Guns wrestle as a tag team.
I know, it's crazy to think that we're not going to be seeing Motor City Machine Guns and TNA. It's been a really fun last 3 or 4 years with them being back in TNA. It's been fantastic. I'm excited for the match next week. I think it's going to be great. But we're not done with Santino, because as soon as the system walks off and Speedball Mountain are still there talking to Santino, we have our favorite spooky girls, Decay, Rosemary, and Havoc, come in and they're like, so Santino, since you're giving out free title shots, we would like to invoke our rematch clause at Rebellion. Santino was so afraid of them. He's like, oh yeah, we'll totally do it. See how it was easy. And then he prompted to leave immediately. Santino just sold that creepy factor for Decay so well. And he's like, okay, you get your match. Okay, bye. Gotta go. Y'all are creepy.
Yeah.
So on the countdown show, we are getting Spitfire versus Decay for the tag team championships. I'm excited. But I'm also very sad because of the fact now we're only down to 2 knockouts tag teams.
Yeah. Possibly.
But I'm still excited for it.
Yeah. Possibly a replacement for MK Ultra, but it'll be interesting. I hope we continue to build up these divisions. We need it.
We really, really do. So then, to no surprise to either one of us and to our fans who have been watching us, next up is Will's favorite match of the whole entire evening. This was James Drake versus Jake something. And I was like, of course. When Will sent me his match, I was like, of course it was. Why are we not surprised? I gotta say, though, this was actually a really fun match. I really, really enjoyed it. I still think Jake's Into the Void finisher is very devastating to watch on television. And yeah, I thought this was a fun match. Obviously, there were some bits where I did think it got a little sloppy, but then again, I'm looking at height. And definitely height, but I thought this was fun. It's something different because, you know, Jake and GYV going at each other is the thing that I want to see more of now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a rough match, as in, like, it was rough for the competitors, not that it was a rough time of them executing their job. The size and power of Jake and the, like, grit and, you know, tough nose like style of Drake and GYV in general, I thought played really well against it, because it was basically the giant dude against the scrapper. And so I thought they did really well against each other. You know, the outcome wasn't a surprise, especially as we're building to a title match. And it was fun to see, to get Jake some more ring time before we see him wrestle Ali. So, you know, it was fun to see. And then the outcome, I think, just helped build, or the post-match antics helped build up, you know, the match between Something and Ali. I thought it was interesting that Diener came out during the match and kind of got in, not involved, but kind of tried to help Jake, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they together at one point, like in a faction or a team or something?
Yes. So I love when I'm able to kind of fill in the blanks. That's become my favorite thing here to do on BC WrestlePod. So to give a little bit of a background, so before becoming the design and, you know, everything with Eric Young being in charge of the faction, it was Diener, Jake, Eric. Why am I forgetting one more? There's one other person. He's still on the TNA roster, but he's been absent for the last year and a half because he's cancer came back for him, but I'm blanking on the name. He always wore cowboy boots and a hat, so. Anyways, well, Andrew facts checked me on that. So those four were technically a little faction, and they were a comedic face faction because they were dumb. And then Diener, like, dumb in the sense that they all, they literally were the Hollywood hillbillies turned into wrestling characters. It's kind of weird. But Diener and Jake Something were, well, Jake, it wasn't Jake Something at that time. It was just Jake Diener. Or he used his full name, Cody Diener, at that time. And both of them were a tag team.
Yeah, it was Jake Diener and Cody Diener as the Dieners.
The Dieners, yeah. Again, Hollywood hillbillies, all that. So, oh, Joe Durning, I think is the last name. Anyways, that's not important. But Jake and Diener were a tag team before. And then when Eric Young went heel, they kicked Jake out of the group. Jake got his last name of Something. So now he has been known as Jake Something since then. And we have seen where Diener has gone from being part of Eric Young's faction to being the leader of Violent by Design. And then now going back into this really weird babyface character. But there you go. There has been your TNA history lesson for the day. The more you know.
So, yeah, so it was interesting to see him come out. And I wonder if they're going to play a bit into that history. Obviously, without even going into that history, there's been some stuff between Diener and GYV. One of my highlights for this was actually the splash that Jake Something hit on the protesters.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that was insane to see someone that size do a splash like that. But, yeah, it was. I thought this was a really good build going into the lead-up of Rebellion.
It was, and then I loved the little protest at the end with Ali coming out, too. Mm-hmm. It's, honestly, this is probably, outside of Steph and Jordan, this has probably been my favorite build to a match at Rebellion, because I would say it would have been Frankie and Eric, but I haven't seen Eric in like, nor Frankie in like 2 weeks. like it's been a hot minute. So hopefully next week we get something. So, I mean, Jake destroys the protesters, but Ali ends up getting the last laugh because GYV helps them. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get Jake and Diener versus GYV next week, which is actually a match I kind of want to see. Yeah. I think it would be fantastic. And what did you know it? We get to the bumpers for next week. So we get a preview of the matches to expect next week on Thursday. And then we get into the main event. You know, Andrew and Will kind of make fun of me a little bit because I have expressed unapologetically that this is my favorite match stipulation in all of TNA history. And to nobody's surprise and chagrin, this was my match of the night in our main event. We got a Monsters Ball match between Khan and PCO. I don't care what anyone says. It was violent. It was gnarly. Khan getting hit on the head with the kendo stick and just falling like an angel perfectly into that table was gnarly to watch. The thumbtack spots and PCO putting more thumbtacks on top of Khan and then deciding to, hey, I'm just going to do a splash on him just because I can. This is everything I wanted in this Monsters Ball match. Mayhem, ladders, tables, thumbtacks, trash cans that got increased in absurdity of sizes, and everyone telling him, do it again. This was my match of the night. Sometimes you just need good, stupid carnage.
Oh, yeah. No, this was great. I agree. This was probably the best match of the night. It was fun to hear that this is the 58th Monsters Ball match. PCO going into this was 2-0 in his Monsters Ball appearances, now 3-0. Or at least he's picked up 3 victories. I don't know if he's 3-0. But that deanimator through the table, and then following that up by then, like you said, hitting him off the turnbuckle with the kendo stick, that fall through the table the second time was insane by Khan. I thought he might have knocked himself out the way his head hit the table. And then the thumbtacks just put it over the top. Well, the tossing PCO off the turnbuckle through the ladder was insane. And then Khan stuffing the tacks into PCO's mouth and PCO spitting them back in his face. There were so many moves. And then the tack spots at the end were just the perfect way to just kind of cap it off. But PCO is insane. He is a crazy man. The fact that he's doing these things still and still able to work matches is crazy. My biggest note from this was, goddamn. it was an insane match, especially to have as the main event for a weekly show. We've seen some recent hardcore-ish style matches that have those stipulations that really didn't feel like they had those stipulations. And this was an example of, no one bled really in this. I mean, I'm sure when they went backstage, they had some thumbtack holes in them, but no one was like super bleeding in this, but we still got a crazy hardcore match from this. And it just shows you what you can do when the two people involved know how to wrestle hardcore and you give them spots to do like that.
Yes, give you crazy spots, but do it safely. And also, you don't need to bleed all the time. I'm looking at you, Mox. I love you, Mox. You'll probably hurt. Like, if we fought in real life, you would hurt me. But I love you. But, yeah, we don't need to bleed every match. But I thought this was a fantastic main event. And you know what? Commentary sold the whole entire time that this is the definitive, chapter in this particular story between Khan and PCO. So I actually look forward to see what's next for both of those. I wouldn't mind seeing Alan Angels team up with Khan in some capacity because there's a weird chemistry there that I think would work very well as how big Khan is and how tiny Angels is, I think would be fun. And here's hoping that now we can properly build towards Crazy Steve and PCO like a little bit more because I was not satisfied with the Digital Media Championship match we got between these two. Yeah. I feel that we still got some unfinished business between them. But who knows if we're going to get to that soon, because it also seems that Laredo Kid has some unfinished business with Crazy Steve. And in my booking brain, for some reason, I would like a story where these three are intersecting and Crazy Steve's enemies are going to slowly come after him. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But that brings us to the end of this week's TNA Wrestling. Andrew, now that we've talked about it, I have to say I feel much better than I did at the beginning of this review. Because TNA actually didn't disappoint me as much as I thought it was going to this week. But that's because I was hella jaded after watching other shows this week and then going into this.
I mean, I feel like that was kind of how TNA felt across the board was. It started kind of weird and choppy. There were some slow bits. But by the time I got to the end of it, there was more stuff I was looking back on that I enjoyed and that were really good and have me excited going into Rebellion.
I am too. And this wasn't even the go home show. That's next week. Oh my gosh. And I'm excited because we're going to review that and then we got to make predictions and then we get to have a watch along next weekend. I'm actually really excited because don't tell the other boys this, but the Hard to Kill watch along is probably one of my favorites that we did, but that's because of how good it was. And also how we all the three of us reverted back to like 10-year-olds watching it. And that's what wrestling should do, man. It should make you feel happy and bring you joy. But before we get on up out of here, let's give this thing a rating. I'm going to read Will's statement first. because Will was nice enough to send us something for this. And so overall, when it comes to this particular episode, this is what he put. I can tell you that I enjoyed this episode a lot. Some of my favorites won and then some didn't, but hey, can't win them all. Honestly, I was excited for Kushida, which I mean, I was too, because he got a win on Explosion. Jake, of course, PCO, hell yes. Crazy Steve, also hell yes. Boo that Moose won against Trent. The whole Josh and Hammerstone interaction at the beginning was, well, it was a thing. Tommy Dreamer, get off my screen. My final rating for this week's episode, I give it a 7.5 out of 10, maybe an 8 since I got to see Jake. And let's be honest, he can bring a 7.5 to an 8 with no problems whatsoever. Teehee. So I will say indefinitely that Will gave this an 8 out of 10. And I'm going to have to kind of agree with Will, not for the same reasons as he said, but honestly, I might be a little biased given the fact that between Raw, NXT, Dynamite, and Ring of Honor so far this week, I have been very either disappointed, underwhelmed, or perplexed about what I've seen on my television screen. And surprisingly, I agree with you, Andrew, though the beginning was kind of choppy at some of the bits. By the end of the show, after the main event, I feel that, and I still have a whole bunch of wrestling to watch later this weekend, but TNA probably has the best episode for me so far this week. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10, too.
Yeah, same here. I gave it an 8 out of 10 as well. Some really good fun matches, some good builds going into Rebellion. Not too promo heavy, no squatches. We get to see some fun people still showing up on our TV. Yeah, across the board, it was great. Even Explosion had an awesome match that could have main evented any week of TNA.
Absolutely. So TNA, thank you so much for bringing me, I can't speak for Andrew, but bringing me out of my funk from this week, because wrestling has disappointed me this week, as it's going to from time to time. But I didn't think all the shows were going to disappoint me. But thank you for being so far the one show this week that did not. And you made me realize, you know what? I know I can always count on TNA to lift my spirits. Oh boy, me and Andrew are going to get up on out of here because we've had a long recording day going back to back with a very, very disappointing Ring of Honor and a very uplifting TNA. But do not fret to my friends, though it is goodbye for now. We will be back here, same time, same place, reviewing the Go Home show of TNA before Rebellion. And you can make sure to stay tuned to all the socials because we're going to be doing a review in less than a week as well over on the live. So that's going to be great. But for myself, Andrew, Will, and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay iconic, and more importantly, you deserve to finish your story. We'll catch you next week for the Go Home show of TNA. Until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.